Good morning and welcome to the Game Fish and Parks Radio Show. I'm Jake Miller, Conservation Officer in Training in Watertown. Well, I thought it's about time to bring Mr. Dan Sternhagen in. He's the park manager here in Watertown. How are we doing?
I'm doing good, Jake.
Good. What's new with you?
Not a whole lot. Getting ready for the busy season of spring camping coming in.
That's right. The birds are chirping and the park crews are going to start to work, I suppose, right?
We work year-round, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interns, that is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I meant. What can we expect as park users this year? Is there anything in particular new? I know you have a couple updates.
We got a few things coming into play this year. We have a comfort station that we're going to be putting out for bids for Sandy Shores. That'll be a huge addition to that park. And we're going to be working on late summer comfort station or dump station upgrade. We're going to kind of try to expand the Pelican Lakes dump station. I don't know when that's all going to go into effect. My guess is it'll be a fall project. And other than that, it's going to be a good season this year. We have a good spring coming in.
Great.
A good time for everyone to get out and do some camping.
That's right. Great. Great to hear. Yeah, and internships-wise, I know you employ quite a few interns throughout the summer. I got to meet one, and her name's Cassie, and she's going to be a naturalist. Is that correct?
Yep. Yep. Okay. We hire about six campground attendants, three maintenance, park management intern, and naturalist for the Watertown area.
Cool. That's awesome. I know I would have enjoyed doing something like that, get to learn how to talk to people. Yeah, it sounds fun, and based on what I've heard from that new intern, Cassie. Well, the fish spawning, it's been taking off, that's for sure. The fish crews have been out all this last week. I think they put out quite a few nets and on somebody's water, up to 90 in total, so they've been really trying to get that started. The water temps have been pretty cold still, and the amount of fish spawned has been, I guess, relatively low in terms of other years, which is surprising because the ice is already off, which is amazing. But basically, on Lynn, to specify what lakes we've done, we spawned 25, we have 52 green and holding, and we have 10 spent walleyes. So that's an interesting statistic. And at Long, we have 12 ripe, 8 green, and 3 spent on 10 nets. And that's the last data I have from last week. But actually, the fourth pier came out and helped us, which was kind of interesting. So I know it's been really windy out there, and it's hard to do that kind of job. But I'm looking forward to actually helping out with them next week. So that should be a good time. Have you ever helped out with that, Dan?
Yeah, I was on Swan and Horseshoe last year, and I got planned for late next week to get out there and do some more spawning. And then we're also looking at, I'm looking at helping out with the Lake Albert and the Southeast crew. We're going to spawn down there together. And with my job, I'm also the access coordinator for the Northeast Park Region. And so I think Todd St. Salver and myself, we're going to look at possible other ramp locations for Albert at that time too. I know the one that we currently have is always having low water issues. The one thing I'd like to point out today is we did get the ramp put in the dock put in the other day.
Good.
On that lake. So the downside is we got, you know, about a foot of water. If we lose a foot of water, that dock's going to come right back out, and we know there's a lot of fish in that lake, and we want to make it accessible for all the fishermen. So
right. Yeah, well, that's good that you got that dock in. Well, I guess now that we're talking about fishing, I guess we'll keep going with that. I don't know how much you've been fishing yet this spring, Dan, but for the most part, it's been picking up lately, which is good to see. Obviously, the weather's not so drab as it has been. But we're starting to see a few boaters. We've seen, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 boaters on goose, so not a tremendous amount. I have heard on Dry Lake number 2, over in Clark County that there's been more boats out there. I heard from an officer he saw probably about 10 to 15, which I thought was pretty interesting. But on Goose Lake, we've seen fair success still. On Long Lake, it's picked up a lot. On the north end, actually, we were patrolling up there, and myself and Bryce McVicker, your Watertown Area Conservation Officer, and we actually saw quite a few vehicles parked along the GPA there. And, you know, for me, not having checking turkey hunters before, I was hoping that there would be turkey hunters out there, Dan. But unfortunately, there were fishermen out there. Yeah, and it was a really cold day. I think that was either probably Sunday or Monday, and it was really, really chilly. But they're troopers, and we saw a lot of kids out there actually with their families, which was exciting to see because I don't know if I would try fishing in that type of weather, Dan.
Yeah, me neither. I'm a fair weather fisherman. I know I tried one day and it was blowing 30 miles an hour and I was fishing the Stone Lake or Stone Bridge off of Lake Ponset, and I gave it about 30 minutes and I decided to pack it up, go home.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have any luck there?
No, just a couple of carp is all I caught tonight. There was two other guys fishing at that time, and we were chatting it out, and that's all they were getting too. So I knew it wasn't something to bang myself up with.
Yeah, yeah. It's just that weather. I think once it picks up, obviously the weather it'll really improve. But we did see a few people at Kempiska and Ponset throughout the past week. Ponset, for the most part, it's been slow. I really suspect, based on what I hear, that will pick up, especially with boating traffic. And Blythe, we haven't seen that many people at Blythe yet. A couple weeks ago, we did see a couple groups of fishermen. Again, fish caught were well over 20 inches, which is awesome to see. Just, you know, people who want to catch nice eating fish, well, it's kind of a challenge. But fishing has been picking up, and we hope to continue to see that. So anyway, talk a little bit about elk applications. The commission released a couple dates. Paper applications must be submitted May 20th, online applications by May 25th. The commission actually decided on an archery season from September 1st to the 30th. I don't know if the viewers will know this, but 768 licenses are being given out in comparison to 2015. Additional licenses, that is, antlerless tags, which is kind of interesting and something I thought I'd share with you guys. And also a new thing, I don't know how much you liked hunting with pellet rifles when you were younger. Did you like that?
Oh yeah, I did a lot of that before I was old enough to carry a gun, basically.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I know I kind of always had a fascination with pellet rifles, but a new thing is, the commission did think about proposing a 600 feet per second ruling on break barrel air rifles, but they decided just to keep it where it's at. You have to have 1,000 feet per second rated air rifle to hunt predator varmints. So that regulation has stayed the same. Recently, I know myself and Bryce have been trying to sign as much people up as you can for food plots. We've been renewing quite a few and signing up a few more. Interesting fact, Connington County is actually second to Brookings in the amount of food plots within the state of South Dakota, which is great, obviously. Do you have any experience with food plots much at all?
I really don't, Jake. Yeah. We don't get too involved with it on the parks.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I totally understand that. I just thought maybe in your own ventures you've had experience with that.
No.
But yeah, and actually an interesting fact with the food plots, we got this new brood mix, which is really good for protein-rich food. You know, a lot of juvenile pheasants need that protein-rich nutrients when they're growing up. So this types of food plot, which has brood mix in it, brings bugs in. So a lot of the dry, native, cool season grasses like big blue stem or similar grasses like switchgrass, they don't really bring in the amount of bugs, therefore nutrients, that these juvenile chicks need. So the brood mix has been really taking off, and people seem to enjoy planting it. And also, I'd like to talk a little bit about our bird migration.
Oh.
Are you a birder yourself, Dan?
I used to be.
You used to be? What did you like to bird?
I grew up in Yankton County and did a lot of birding down in Bonham and in Yankton County.
Okay.
If I could just get Mr. Bryce McVicker to get me back into that sport, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, there's always a chance, isn't there?
Yeah. Hey, we got any numbers of birds still floating around?
Yeah, I think so. I think the passerines, which songbirds primarily, are going to start coming through here. I'm looking forward to seeing more of a variety. Obviously, it's probably way too early to see, you know, hummingbirds or anything of that sort. Okay. But I've seen a few. I haven't seen many warblers. obviously the waterfowl migration, you know, a couple, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, I think it was really, really strong here. And it still is, of course. I was fortunate to see a lot of canvasbacks. And personally for me, not being from South Dakota originally, it was really cool to see that because I never got to see, like, canvasbacks and grouping up in the spring.
We did some fishing last week on Swan, and that's about all we could hear.
Really?
For all the birds. And it was pretty neat. It was a nice, calm night, and that in the background was a real enjoyment.
Yeah, it sure is. I wish more people, especially young people, get into it because it's, I mean, in my opinion, I almost enjoy it just as much as hunting. It's a really fun time, and I know other states have promoted it, and South Dakota actually is really promoting it currently now. So it's something definitely cool to get into. Well, moving on to the Aldo Leopold Conservation Award, I thought I'd mention this. I don't know if our viewers are familiar with Aldo Leopold, but he used to be a renowned author, conservationist. Okay. Have you heard of him, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, he wrote like this famous book called Sand County Almanac. And recently, a couple individuals out of Florence, South Dakota, have been named finalists. And their names are John and Danita Mose out of Florence. And the Aldo Leopold Award is given to farmers who have no-till practices, or they have the kind of rotational grazing practices, or they implement native grasses and trees. I thought I'd mention that to our viewers because it's an interesting award, and I thought it'd be worth mentioning. But in terms of snow geese, they've been moving, obviously, way far north now. And hunting opportunity, I would say, is slim to none. What would you say?
I'd been seeing the same deal.
Yeah, it's pretty slim. I know a few pockets have been taken up in Day, based upon what I've heard. But again, for the most part, it's been very slim. Obviously, the opportunity for juveniles, I would say, still possibly persists. But again, it's farther north, and we don't expect to see much of that anymore. Well, I thought I'd give a little announcement about a deer case that we've been trying to post around the community here. A couple days ago, we got a tips call in regards to a deer that was shot about 3 miles north of the Watertown Airport by the Dakota Sioux Casino. We responded, and it ended up being shot with a high-caliber rifle. Currently, any information for this is being sought after, and any reward that leads to an arrest, and any information that leads to an arrest will be rewarded. And it's kind of interesting. So, again, call Game Fish and Parks at the area office, or call the tips hotline. So Dan, what else can we expect at the parks this year? Is there anything else that comes to mind?
Well, the one thing that we've been working real hard, not just the parks, but also wildlife, we're having a really good spring season for our prescribed fire plans.
Great.
Myself, along with Owen McElroy in the Watertown office, work really hard on getting these burn plans written and carrying out these plans. We ended up getting a couple burns done this last week around Long Lake, and it turned out really well. And if for the listeners out there, you know, anytime that you can get fire on the ground to help control a lot of our native prairies, the response that we get out of it is a lot better cost effectiveness over and result that you get out of it over what you could also do, like graze or haying. So that's kind of one of the big things that we're pushing this year. I know, talking to the emergency manager, they're going to be looking at burn bans and depending on the moisture
cool
that we get throughout the next few days, if we can stay out of burn bans, we're going to continue to be burning a lot of the GPAs and Pelican Lake State Parks
Pelican
on
Lake.
One of them.
Okay.
So you guys are going to see quite a bit of smoke up in the air, and
yep.
And it's just good conservationist at its finest.
That's right. Yeah, thanks for that awesome info. I know we were driving yesterday, and we saw a lot of plumes of smoke out in the distance. I'm like, well, it must be the crew. And, you know, sure, obviously it was. So that's been really awesome to see. Well, just one more update. The turkey season, I know people are having some success this year. We've seen a few people. We've heard of quite a few turkeys up by South Shore. Just quick reminder, the season closes May 22nd and in Connington County, and you only can use a shotgun. And well, you can't use a rifle here. I just want to specify that. I guess that concludes the updates we have for you this week for the Game Fish and Parks radio show. And we really hope to see you back next week. Have a good one.